It's time for the Podketeer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That's spelled Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podketeer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see, for I've got curiosity.
Hello, Podketeers, and welcome to episode 42 of Podketeer. Hey, we made it out to the park a couple times this week. Unfortunately, due to the wind, nothing that I recorded out there was really good enough to put on the show. I am sorry to say. I recorded lots and lots of stuff, but just a lot of wind noise. So, unfortunately, my windscreen with the amount of wind we had going just it wasn't good enough. I am going to have a review today of the Walt Disney World WDW Radio podcast by Lou Mangiello. That's coming up. And I've got a couple of news pieces for you about the closing of the Electronica show at California Adventure. And a rather interesting story I ran across about Ray Bradbury and his love of Disney. So without further ado, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Carrie Foppians. Here is another Podketeer podcast review by your host and head Podketeer himself, Mark Tanner. And by the way, hey Lou, we love ya. Please don't sue us.
WDW Radio,
your information station.
Hello everybody and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 269 for the week of April 8th, 2012. This week, we're going to look at some of those moments in Walt Disney World that leave you breathless, speechless, smiling, laughing, or maybe even a little teary-eyed. From the incredible to the amazing to the spectacular, emotional, and memorable, we're going to explore our top 10 wow moments in Walt Disney World.
Well, Podketeers, to anybody who has followed any kind of Disney podcast, I'm quite sure you're very familiar with the music I just played for you. It is the music and the voice of Lou Mangiello and WDW Radio. WDW Radio is one of the better produced shows. And Lou Mangiello, despite not being a professional interviewer and announcer, he does a pretty good job. I have to admit that he comes off a little stiff as an interviewer, and maybe a little over the top on his excitement about the topics that he's reporting on. But basically, he does a very nice job. And the production value of the show is excellent, especially considering the fact that Mr. Mangiello is an attorney, and I'm quite sure has lots and lots of other things that he has to do besides do this podcast. He's a quite accomplished person. He has his own Wikipedia entry, which you have to be he's at least somewhat notable to warrant a Wikipedia entry. Louis Mangiello, let's see, what does it say about him here? It says he's an American author and web developer. He's written two trivia books about Walt Disney World Resort. He lives in Florida. He has been hosting the show since 2005. It has won the podcast award for the best travel podcast. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Probably will this year, too. says he holds a bachelor degree in sociology from Villanova and a Juris Doctor degree from Seton Hall. That's very impressive, especially for a podcaster. I have to say that I like the show. It's not too commercial. It isn't one of my favorite shows because it doesn't center on Disneyland. And, you know, that's my preference. But he loves Disney World the same way I love Disneyland, so I certainly don't fault him for that. And the show is well worth listening to. There's a lot of very useful information, a lot of good interviews. And I highly recommend it to you, especially if you are in Florida. One more little tidbit about Lou. I have seen him, I met him once at D23, and I've seen him filming his video podcast at the D23 conventions. And it's pretty interesting to watch him do it. He has a laptop computer, and he does all of his filming on the laptop, and he uses it like a camera, and he carries it around on his fingertips like he's carrying a pizza. How he does that and manages to keep from dropping the darn thing, I'm sure he's dropped it once or twice, but I haven't seen him do it. So if you ever get a chance to get out to the D23 convention and get over to wherever he's doing his podcast from, watch him with that laptop. It's pretty interesting to see. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed the review, and we'll be back next week. And next week, we're going to be reviewing one of the lesser-known podcasts, but one that I've listened to, and I think it's an up-and-comer, and it's called Frank's Wild Ride. So we'll be out here next week with that one. On with the show.
Ray Bradbury on How Disneyland Humanized Robots. Ray Bradbury is a self-professed Disney nut and, in 1965, found himself dismayed by an article in the magazine Nation, decrying Disneyland as vulgar entertainment. In response, he penned a love letter to Disneyland, defending Walt Disney as a man on the cutting edge of making robots seem human. Bradbury wrote this piece, The Machine-Tooled Happy Land, for the October 1965 issue of Holiday Magazine. It's a defense of Disneyland, which Bradbury admits he hesitated to visit, because it struck him as anti-intellectual. He recalls a fond trip with his good friend, actor Charles Laughton, but the real magic Bradbury gravitates to in Disneyland is its robots, which display to him an emotional warmth absent from the machines that increasingly surround us. Snobbery now could cripple our intellectual development. After I had heard too many people sneer at Disney and his audio animatronic Abraham Lincoln in the Illinois exhibit at the New York World's Fair, I went to the Disney Robot Factory in Glendale. I watched the finishing touches being put on a second computerized, electric and air pressure driven humanoid that will live at Disneyland from this summer on. I saw this new effigy of Mr. Lincoln sit, stand, shift his arms, turn his wrists, twitch his fingers, put his hands behind his back, turn his head, look at me, blink and prepare to speak. In those few moments I was filled with an awe I have rarely felt in my life. Only a few hundred years ago all this would have been considered blasphemous, I thought. To create man is not man's business, but God's, it would have been said. Disney and every technician with him would have been bundled and burned at the stake in 1600. And again, I thought, all of this was dreamed before. From the fantastic geometric robot drawings of Bracelli in 1624 to the mechanical people in Capek's book, Rosum's Universal Robots in 1925, others have conceived and drawn metallic extensions of man and his senses, or played at it in theater. But the fact remains that Disney is the first to make a robot that is convincingly real, that looks, speaks and acts like a man. Disney has set the history of humanized robots on its way toward wider, more fantastic trips into the needs of civilization. It's no coincidence that Bradbury befriended Walt Disney and even wrote the foreword for Disney's biography Remembering Walt. It seems that Bradbury has always viewed Disney as a fellow futurist, and saw the park's animatronics,
as a tribute to Disney's vision.
I hope you liked that little piece on Ray Bradbury. I ran across that. I know Walt was a big proponent of the space program, and I'm sure he was into science fiction, although I've really never read anything that suggested that he was. But it would make sense that he would be if he liked the space program. And obviously Ray Bradbury was a big fan of Disney. I would think any science fiction author would probably like going to Disneyland, Tomorrowland, and so forth. Let you walk around in some of the ideas that you have for stories. So that would make sense to me. And being a big science fiction fan that I am, especially Arthur C. Clarke, that's always been my favorite author. But I don't think he spent too much time at Disneyland because he lived in Sri Lanka for most of the latter part of his life anyway. So just thought I'd come in and kind of give you an idea why I put that on here about Ray Bradbury. Okay, more show.
From Walt Disney Pictures comes Sky High, an action-packed comedy family adventure about a secret high school in the sky.
Welcome to Sky High. You are the descendants of the world's most legendary superheroes.
From the moment Will Stronghold, played by Michael Angarano, started high school, he knew he was in for the ride of his life.
I am son of Commander Stronghold and Josie Jetstream, played by Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston, and they're pretty much the best superhero team that the world knows of today.
Will, I just want you to know how proud I am that you'll be attending my alma mater.
But Will's not sure he's got what it takes, and this exciting adventure from Freaky Friday producer Andrew Gunn and Deuce Bigelow director Mike Mitchell.
Imagine a world where superheroes just exist, and those people had kids, then you'd have to go to a school where they teach you how to use those powers.
Step up here and show me your power.
But if you haven't got your powers yet, or if your powers are kind of lame, then you have to go into the sidekick class, and no kid wants to be a sidekick.
TV's Wonder Woman, Linda Carter plays the principal of Sky High, whose freshman class features some of the most gifted super teens around, much to Will's dismay.
You will go through power placement and your own heroic journey will begin.
Power placement?
It's how they decide where you go.
The hero track, the loser track.
Everybody expects him to be able to be super strong and to be able to fly, but he can't do any of that.
Not only is Will starting off with no superpowers of his own, he has to deal with an overbearing gym coach played by Bruce Campbell.
My main job is to determine whether these students are going to be heroes or sidekicks.
It's especially humiliating because Will's surrounded by super teens, including War and Peace, a flamethrower with a superheated grudge, Gwen, a technopath who can control technology with her mind, and Lash and Speed, played by Jake Sandvig and Will Harris.
The typical high school, I think that we would qualify as your bully in the student body.
Definitely.
And then you got your nerdy kids.
You.
Let me first start off by saying what an honor it is.
Is that your power? What kissery?
This may be a school for the teens of superheroes, but it's filled with the usual growing up stuff, including girl problems, bullies, and of course, saving the world.
All I ever wanted for him was to save the world.
I know you're disappointed. So am I. You think I didn't want to see my son fly?
All Will wants is to live up to his family's name, but to do that, he'll have to test his limits.
You have 3 minutes to immobilize your opponents and save the citizen.
And unleash the hero within.
He's strong. He's super strong.
Discovering his powers was just the beginning, because the heroes of tomorrow will have to save the world today.
My old enemy
always swore he'd have his revenge on me.
This summer, the sky's the limit.
Put my dad down.
Ow! You are strong!
Sky High. In Hollywood, I'm Lori Lerner.
Disneyland permanently closes the Tron portal at Disney California Adventure Attention Programs. Effective following this weekend, Electronica at Disney California Adventure is subject to immediate resolution. The portal that links users to the grid will close forever, as Disneyland Resort replaces its popular nighttime Tron Legacy-inspired party with another called Mad Tea Party, inspired by Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. Electronica first debuted on October 8, 2010 in promotion of the highly anticipated Tron sequel called Tron Legacy, released a month and a half later. What was expected to be a relatively short-lived nightly event has lasted just over a year and a half. Although Tron Legacy was not as big a box office success as Disney hoped it would be, its strikingly unique look and modern electronic score by Daft Punk gave it longevity, which Disney has capitalized on via Electronica, selling merchandise, tokens to play retro video games at Flynn's Arcade, and plenty of drinks in the party atmosphere. For the past 1.5 years, Electronica added new life and energy to Disney California Adventure, where otherwise guests found seemingly endless rows of construction walls, as Disney worked to complete its 5-year renovation project. Beginning with the early evening portal opening, and continuing through the park's final hours, Electronica lit up the Hollywood Pictures backlot area of the park in electrified shades of blue and green, with a combination of loud DJ spur dance music, live dancers, unique shows, and kinetic video projections. This seemingly temporary setup found a cult following among teens and young adults, who made frequent repeat visits to Tron City. This weekend it all comes to an end, as Disney California Adventure's $1 billion plus makeover draws closer to its June 15th completion date. Like many of the areas around the park, Electronica will be made over into an entirely new nighttime party event. When the portal opening show first debuted, it was located in Sunshine Plaza. But as part of the park's ongoing reconstruction project, Sunshine Plaza has since been removed, becoming part of Buena Vista Street, so the Electronica stage was moved down the path into the Hollywood Pictures backlot. Once the portal to the grid opened, Electronica nights were mostly filled with dancing and socializing. But one headline act drew the attention of users and programs alike, and this was Laser Man. Though the real name of the French performer is Theodore, under his rather appropriate title Laser Man he performed deep within Tron City, surprising audiences with his ability to manipulate colorful lasers in a dazzling light show. Throughout the year and a half of Electronica, Disneyland debuted 2 separate Laser Man shows, with the second adding multicolored lasers and a new soundtrack. Dancing, libations, and entertainment whenever Laser Man was not performing, Tron City erupted in thumping beats driven by an ever-changing lineup of DJs at its center. The area in front of the park's Monsters Incorporated ride turned into a massive dance party, complete with an end-of-line club lounge, from which guests could buy unique drinks, sit, and relax. Those looking for more entertainment could also find the Tron Legacy 3D experience inside the Muppet Vision 3D Theater, offering clips from the film enhanced by in-theater special effects including multicolored lighting and wind. The theater experience was initially used as an extended trailer for the film before it hit theaters, but ultimately served as a promotion for the movie's Blu-ray and DVD release. Flynn's Arcade. Those looking to return to the era of the original Tron found delight in entering Flynn's Arcade, tucked away in a Disney California Adventure soundstage, modeled after the arcade run by the film's character Kevin Flynn, played by Jeff Bridges in both movies. Flynn's Arcade featured classic stand-up arcade games including Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga, Robotron, Donkey Kong, and, of course, Tron the game based on the movie. Disney also created a playable version of Space Paranoids, a game Kevin Flynn develops in the original film. The arcade was complete with air hockey, foosball, neon signs, and plenty of 80s tunes playing. The authentic retro experience transported many guests back to hours of their childhood spent in video arcades, long before the days of Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Though Flynn's Arcade will be leaving Disney California Adventure, when Mad Tea Party moves in, Tron fans can still find its original exterior shooting location from the film in Culver City, California, now home to a restaurant. End of line. Disneyland is commemorating the end of Electronica this weekend with the finale of their ongoing Tron City's Dance Crew Challenge, pitting local dance teams against each other to win the ultimate prize, a one-of-a-kind Electronica Disco Ball trophy. The winning dance crew will be crowned Sunday night, April 15th, the final night for programs to take a last trip to the digital frontier, that is Electronica. Though the new Tron Uprising animated series is set to debut on the Disney XD television channel this summer, and a third film is reportedly in the works, the removal of Electronica from Disney California Adventure will certainly be the end of line for Disney's most elaborate Tron theme park experience. The source of this article was the Inside the Magic website.
Join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from all us crazy Disney geeks here on Podcateer.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
I wanna go park hopping fast, ride dropping, flying through space, mountain sky.
I wanna
magical
go.
Dreaming tower, drop screaming. It's a spectacular night.
I wanna
jungle
go.
Cruise roaring, Toy Story scoring, electric light parade in my heart soaring.
I wanna
everyone
go.
Dancing, fireworks blasting. Let's go to Disney summer night.
I wanna go.
Wishing, ice cream dishing, laughing, autographing tonight.
Missed it by that much.
If you think your family is different, wait till you meet the Robinsons. Walt Disney Pictures' hilarious new animated time-traveling adventure about Louis, a young inventor with a dream.
Hey, I did it! They're gonna love this!
But the one thing he can't invent is the family he never knew. As Louis finds himself thrust into the unexpected realm of tomorrow, when he encounters a mysterious stranger named Wilbur.
What is this? Where are we going?
To the future!
And this is a future unlike anything we've ever seen, filled with unforgettable characters, classic villains, and all kinds of eye-popping exuberance from director Steve Anderson and producer Dorothy McKim.
He is on the quest and search for his family, to find his mother.
So the question for Louis is, how far would you travel to find a family? The answer is, the future.
I know, they're out there.
And that is where we meet the Robinsons.
Oh. So come meet the Robinsons.
And it's a pretty eclectic group.
Why is your dog wearing glasses?
Oh, because his insurance won't pay for contacts.
They're a family of inventors, and anything goes.
Brandy's a really unique character because she has taught frogs how to play and sing big band music.
Frogs?
Genetically enhanced frogs.
From time-traveling dinosaurs.
Why didn't you tell me you had a pet dinosaur?
Because we don't.
To Grandpa Bud and his problem teeth.
Yeah, my teeth. Been digging holes all day. Can't find them anywhere.
This is the future as only Disney can imagine it.
Time travel now, questions later.
Meet the Robinsons continues in the beloved Disney legacy of looking ahead to a dazzling world of tomorrow.
To live for where you're gonna go as opposed to obsessing on the things that didn't go right in the past.
Let's go!
Adding to the thrills, Meet the Robinsons is being presented on more than 600 screens in the revolutionary new Disney Digital 3D, with stereoscopic supervisor Phil McNally telling us,
something that stereoscopic films can deliver is the feeling that you really have crossed over into their world, and for a moment you get the feeling that you're sharing their experience directly.
Hey, 3D doesn't make me look fat, does it?
From director Steve Anderson comes a story about believing in yourself and the wide open future.
I have to find my family.
We'll help you, kid!
Featuring voice talent from Angela Bassett, Tom Selleck, Harlan Williams, Laurie Metcalf, and Adam West.
Pop quiz. Who have you met and what have you learned?
With an inventive score from two-time Academy Award nominee Danny Elfman and songs by the All-American Rejects, Rufus Wainwright, and Rob Thomas, as well as tracks from Jamie Cullum and the Jonas Brothers. Walt Disney Pictures invites you to meet the Robinsons and have the time travel of your life.
I've got the caffeine patch. You can stay awake for days with no side effects. Ah! Sorry.
In Hollywood, I'm Lori Lerner.
In case you're wondering the reason for all the kind of sci-fi related movie trailers, I figured since we had the Tron thing in there and the deal about Ray Bradbury, we kind of just have a theme. So I hope you didn't mind that too much. Hey, we're going to wrap up the show here just a little early. It's a little bit of a short show, but I'm running kind of late and I got to get to bed. So I hope you don't mind the show being just about 5 minutes shorter than normal. I'm going to stick a little audio here at the end and then wrap up the show with all of our friendly robot announcers. So y'all take care of yourselves. You have a magical Disney week, and hey, we'll see you at the park.
Now, at the foot of Main Street, about where you're sitting, is the Plaza. The Plaza, or the Hub, is the heart of Disneyland. Shooting out from here, like the four cardinal points of the compass, Disneyland is divided into four cardinal realms. Adventureland, Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, and Frontierland.
Hello, Podcateers. I hope you enjoy today's show, and we'll come back next week and see what crazy stuff Mark has cooked up. Until then, have yourself a magical Disney week. This is Carrie Foppin signing off.
The great caricature artwork on the Podcateer website was created by Disneyland artist Catherine Clark. You may email her at portraitsandcaricatures@yahoo.com. Her blog is located at www.myspace.com/Clark_art.
Just a quick little additional blurb. Catherine just got accepted at the California Institute of the Arts, which is an extremely huge thing to have happen to you if you're an artist. And I'm quite proud of her. So, on with the end of the show.
Podcateer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company or any of its affiliates. Mickey Mouse copyright 1928, The Walt Disney Company. Any similarity to Disney characters or real persons without satirical purpose, the act of reviewing products, or reporting on newsworthy events, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, visit our website at www.podcateer.com.
I'd just like to take a moment to again thank my friend Rick Moyer at MoyerMultimedia.com for taking the time to put together the theme song to the Podcateer podcast. If you need any voiceover work, or you need any kind of a theme song or music put together for a presentation or for your company or for a podcast, you look Rick up. He could not be more helpful. His name is Rick Moyer, and the name of his website is MoyerMultimedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh.
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
What? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
So is Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.